Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And happy Tuesday to you all in Kansas City as we go through one of the most long-awaited weeks of our lives. For those of you that are waiting for the Super Bowl, I don't know how you handle this. There's your I-70 picture on the TV. Stay safe out there, everybody.
Be careful. I-70 and Nolan Road is closed this morning.
Go a different route.
Whoo, boy. Somebody driving the wrong way on I-70. That's never a good thing.
Yeah, get off on Lee Summit. I think it's called like Lee Summit Road or Lee Summit High, whatever that is before that.
Or just avoid that like the plague, man. That is a bad situation out there
right
now.
It's a still shot, and it's not a still shot.
And it's before 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's already like miles and miles and miles of just stalled, stopped traffic there. So if you're
are in traffic,
listen to us.
You've got some entertainment on the way.
Hey, good morning to y'all. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You mentioned it is kind of a long week leading up to this. It's going to be a long 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl. Because I think like all of us, we just want the game to get here, right?
Yeah.
And after consuming some national media and talking to friends all over the place yesterday, trying to figure out what people are thinking, a lot of people are upset still about, you know, this Super Bowl matchup. And, you know, they wanted Buffalo. They wanted Detroit. They didn't get any of that. Tough life. You know, life is full of disappointments. I know in 2012, we're not allowed to have disappointments in life anymore, and we're all supposed to give everybody what they want. But in this case, you didn't get what you wanted, and you get the Chiefs and you get the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, for the second time in the last 3 years. But, you know, I'd say to everybody else out there, just do better. Beat the Chiefs, beat the Eagles, and you'll have an opportunity to play in the Super Bowl as well. You got to look to finish off games. And, you know, this whole thing with Josh Allen, too, was talked about a lot yesterday, you know, whether or not he was shorter. I talked to somebody yesterday who watched 40-plus angles of this thing in the TV truck during the game and saw angles that we didn't even get to see on TV. And not with one of those angles did they say that Josh Allen was even close to getting that first down in that game on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, well, you're wrong. He got the first down, man.
Yeah, I'm wrong.
The refs learned to lose.
Right, the facts and the evidence and the fact that they were leading at the time and all of that. Like, the fact that this is causing people to have to go through more work and talk to people and go back and review all this kind of stuff, I would think 30-plus angles, almost 40 angles this person saw. They were network TV cameras. Some were in-house cameras for the Chiefs. Some were in-house cameras for, you know, the other team as well, Buffalo. Like, every camera that was there gets funneled into this TV truck, and so they get the opportunity to see all the different angles of everything that's going on, so they know what shots to put up.
Chiefs bought those cameras.
That's right. The CBS, it stands for the Chiefs Broadcasting System, right?
And they paid for the film.
Uh-huh, that's right. The Chiefs paid for all of that. So after talking to an independent
Chiefs actually
individual,
covered up the Kennedy assassination, too, by
Oh,
the way.
Did they do that? Oh, okay. Yep. I didn't realize that came out already. But from the independent people that I talked to about that yesterday, like, there's no evidence. There is literally no evidence to say that Josh Allen got that first down. So the next day or so, everybody's going to be bemoaning this matchup, and then you hear the get-in price for the Super Bowl is $6,000. So people clearly want to be there, and I think the airlines added.
But
I want to say
Chiefs fan, it's at least $600.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Chiefs fans get
$600. They want it to be red.
The whole stadium to be red. But and I think
Some
the airlines
dumb.
The airlines yesterday added roughly 20 nonstop flights from Kansas City, 11 from Philadelphia to get
One
down to New
right
Orleans.
Here,
and so I think I saw between 3,000 and 5,000 additional seats from Kansas City to New Orleans have been added in nonstop flights for on Friday, Saturday, and everybody wanting to get down there and be part of this. And so I know America doesn't want this, and they've got their complaints, and they're going to bitch and moan about, you know, stuff that is disputable or indisputable, however you want to phrase it. And here we sit. I mean, here we sit going to the Super Bowl, and people are upset, and they will be, and they'll get over it, and they'll move on, and all of a sudden realize this is one of the most, if not the most, historic Super Bowls of all time.
Some people are dumb.
That's an old school drop there. I don't know what to tell you, man. There was a lot of people yesterday that obviously we do our show early in the morning, so you know we're your breakfast takes, right? We get the raw reaction before mm-hmm. anybody else, and then you get to go home and you know get to see the certain people that have similar takes as you, or maybe they have you know similar paths to where they're getting to their main point. And then every once in a while, you'll see a guy say something like Adam Schein.
Refereeing in that game yesterday was a damn disgrace. And if you don't think that impacted who's going to the Super Bowl, I don't know what to tell you. And if you want to fight today, we're going to yell, we're going to scream, we're going to absolutely explode.
This guy just gives me
anxiety.
Because
if I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, and you're trying to be sane, you're trying to rationalize, you're trying to give credit, you talk about things that ultimately, you know, you did that were self-induced in terms of the mistakes. The referees on two particular plays doomed your football team. Okay. Absolutely doomed it.
So did Dawson
Knox. Fourth and one, Kansas City 41, there's 13 minutes to go. Josh Allen, quarterback sneak, and he got it. Half of his damn body is over the line of scrimmage.
Ah! Yeah.
That guy sounds to me like he just sits around and smokes cigarettes all day and comes up with hot sports takes, you know, that he's going to roll out there on the network. I'm giving you the facts, you know, Dusty. Like, I talk to people that have a clue, that see things, that know what's going on. And when I get a call from somebody who saw almost 40 different angles of that shot, and they're like, there's no evidence to say that he got the first down. I'm going to go with that as opposed to Adam Schein, who's just yelling and screaming. And
you want
to
fight?
Trying to get clicks and notifications and all that kind of stuff on X. Because that's ultimately...
I'm actually worn out after the game.
I know,
I don't want to fight.
I don't want to argue this and talk about this and have this diminish. Like, this is diminishing what the Kansas City Chiefs as an organization have accomplished, I mean, like...
I don't care what other people think at this point
anymore. At this point, it's like, just stop your bitching, stop your moaning, and just sit back and realize we've got ourselves a team going for a three-peat. And every time you want to talk about the refs, you're diminishing what Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Steve Spagnuolo, and Brett Veach, and the Hunt... Everybody part of that organization... what they've been accomplishing, and it's hard to win games in the National Football League. Ask the Buffalo Bills. They can't get it done when it matters most, and it had nothing to do with the officiating. So, Dusty, I hope we're past that, you know, and I hope we can all start to move on, but this is the problem with that week between the Super Bowl and the conference championship games. Like, I wish we had just left already and we were down there and there was no week off and we could just get this game started because people would now focus on the game. But now you got an entire week of trying to say that the Chiefs were given that game by the officials when that just wasn't the case at all. Again, 3:33 to go in the game. All three timeouts. You're at the 30-yard line. You have the two-minute warning, and you're only down three, and you can't get the job done. Patrick Mahomes would have had his team win by four, and that's a fact. And I can prove that because I've seen it before on so many different times. Josh Allen had an opportunity. Instead of these Allen ball washers out there just admitting that Josh Allen just can't get the job done, they want to flip it around and blame the officials. So here we sit. Happy Tuesday, everybody, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, like, I think now it's just like, you lean into it. I don't know. We always tell like everybody, like the Chiefs are the evil empire. Nobody likes the Chiefs. Like, just go be it. So now it's just like, you know what? Yeah. Whatever you want to believe, you believe
fine.
It.
Yeah. Right.
Because the guy that got called for not getting the first down, who wears 17, who actually ran the ball, his quote was, to be the champs, you have to beat the champs, and we didn't do that today.
That's
it wasn't, well, son of a gun, I thought I got the first down, and we did, you know, we kind of got screwed on that, but that didn't happen.
Right.
Right? Like, when the Chiefs lost to the Cincinnati Bengals in the AFC Championship game, it's like, yeah, you know what? We'll come back next year, and we'll try to get it better. We'll try to do better.
Right.
But, you know, then there's teams like Houston that were like, well, it was us versus everybody. You didn't hear Buffalo say that.
You scored 12 points, Houston.
You didn't hear Buffalo say that.
Right.
You know, be respectful to Houston. They scored 14.
I'm sorry. Sorry. My bad.
Come on.
I'm sorry.
Stop with the lies.
Sorry.
Yes. The refs wanted them to have 21.
Right.
Unfortunately, they have 14.
14.
But that's it's stuff like that, you know, it's just, you know, and that's the thing, too, is like Matt Verderam, who goes on a lot of shows here on 96.5, he was saying that Adam Schein thing was like the lowest form of like basically lazy sports radio.
Oh, it
like,
is, yeah.
You're going to take what everybody else, like, what do you always call the low-hanging fruit?
Yeah. It is like, low-hanging fruit.
Why don't you have a different angle on it, right? Like, you're going to have your biased Chiefs people like us where it's like, you just can't beat Mahomes because he's just better than you in the playoffs, and it is what it is. He just, everything slows down, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
Right? Or you could be like, you know what? Andy Reid's just above you. Andy Reid knows things. Like Orlovsky yesterday was like, they ran plays I'd never seen before. We told you that in week two.
Did Orlovsky say that, or is he stealing that from Greg Rousseau, who came out after the game and said, they were better prepared than us. They ran plays I'd never seen on tape before. So like, Orlovsky's stealing that guy's take and putting it at his own?
But we told you that in like week three. They're like, yeah, they keep it evergreen.
Yeah,
like Josh Allen even told you at the front desk. Like, he was like, yeah, we hide some plays.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, dude, like, you should have known that Andy Reid was going to have plays. We hadn't seen that Patrick Mahomes end zone run all season. And we saw it, and they scored.
Yeah, that's the one Rousseau was talking about. Yeah. He's like, I've never seen the left tackle pull at all this year that the Chiefs have done. That's right. Exactly right. And the Eagles will see something, I'm sure, in the Super Bowl that right. they haven't done, whether it's a play that Andy Reid ran with Donovan McNabb back in the day in Philadelphia. Who knows? There's going to be something in that game that you haven't seen before. That's why the Chiefs win, because they just don't do the same thing over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
They're constantly changing it up and keeping you on your toes. But the low-hanging fruit, really, though, Dusty, is what sells in this industry. It gets the clicks. It gets people fired up. And it's easy. It's not hard to do a radio talk show nationally and go, the refs screwed the Chiefs! Unbelievable how the refs screwed the Chiefs! And then every person will go, yeah! But if you come across and give the facts, sometimes it's hard for people to understand the facts, and it doesn't move the needle as much as just going, the referees are the worst in the world!
I thought about buying a referee shirt and taking it to Radio Row and just wearing it Monday through Friday. But luckily for a lot of us, if you're mad at the Chiefs, you could always just have Jerry Jones.
The last time we won a Super Bowl, I could still get hard without taking a pill. Nowadays, my dinger just looks like a wet biscuit.
So that's interesting. Or you have Liam Cohen.
Duval.
Boy, that guy's done.
What? Him or Jerry Jones?
Either. It doesn't matter.
There's a very low percentage of this that is smiles and glory holes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you figure out which one's AI.
The last time we won a Super Bowl, I could still get hard without taking a pill.
That's right.
Nowadays, my dinger just looks like a wet biscuit.
So that's kind of like the whole lame excuses in a nutshell.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of where I stand. But, hey, man, if we're always telling, you know, hey, why didn't they run the ball to Cook? Why did they not get the first down?
Again, 13 carries for a guy who's getting you 6.5 yards a pop.
That's right. That's right.
Nah, we're not going to do that. We're just going to blame the refs. It's easier that way.
For sure. Big game coverage on 96.5. The Fan is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. We will give you our best three performances from Sunday here on 96.5. The Fan, when we return on your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.
Stacy, Nirvana, she even likes Madonna. Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty. Best day of the week, Taco Tuesday. Boy, I'm excited. We smoked that pork shoulder this weekend.
Do you have any leftovers?
Very little, actually.
Yeah.
I was surprised. Otherwise, you guys would have had some Tupperware full.
That's fine. Here. I figured you guys probably killed that whole pork roast in one day. I mean, it shrinks down a lot, you know, shrinkage and all that.
Yeah, we dented it, is probably the best way to say it, on Sunday night. And then I went home yesterday, made a sandwich, and slept for like 3 hours, dude. I was so gassed when I got home.
Tired yesterday.
And then there's a little bit left. It was like a 7-pound pork roast we got at Hy-Vee. Or pork shoulder.
Yeah.
And then going to do like street style tacos tonight.
Yeah, pork tacos, man, are good. I do like what those
is,
a lot.
Is that a good start bench cut taco meats?
Yeah. I mean, I'm partial to seafood tacos. I love shrimp tacos. I love, you know, fish tacos. Not fried, grilled, blackened, you know, that kind of stuff.
You don't need like the best fish either. Like,
no.
You could do like blackened tilapia.
Yeah, tilapia
and it's fine.
Works just fine in fish tacos. Cactus did an unbelievable salmon taco for a while. They've got to get that back on the menu. I keep telling them that, but they look at me like I've got 17 heads, and usually I do when I'm in there, but I do appreciate a good seafood taco, man. It's so good, man. Shrimp tacos, fish tacos, give me all that. I like carnitas. I like
steak.
Them all. Steak. It's all good, man. It's all good.
Yeah, Third Street Social's got a good.
Have you ever had a bad taco though? Like,
yes,
you have.
Oh yeah.
With what in it? Like tofu or jackfruit? These people
fried
jackfruit.
I'm not a big fried taco guy. Like, I don't know, like the puffy tacos.
Oh, okay.
Now, yeah, I like a chalupa if I'm like been in the garage.
Yeah. No, I understand
but
that.
But I'm not like a big fried taco
guy.
Oh,
I would never go fried, no.
Some people are nuts about them.
Yeah.
Like they get the meat in there, they fold them up, and then
isn't that an empanada, though, at the end of the day when you do that? Actually, Manny's has great, if you want to call them fried tacos, mm-hmm. they're so greasy and delicious. Like just ground beef tacos at Manny's is some of the best you'll ever eat. But I do. I like them all, man. I don't think I've ever had a bad taco except one time somebody tried to tell me jackfruit was pulled pork, and it's not. Stop peddling that nonsense, man. It doesn't taste like pulled pork at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you can't really have a bad taco, in my opinion. But, I mean, I'm not a fan. Like, just because they're, like, fried, still like, well, all we have is, like, fried tacos. I'd be like, darn.
Right, fine, right. Yeah, right.
You got sour cream?
Mm-hmm.
There's a very low percentage of this that is smiles and glory holes.
Just don't understand. Like, I mean,
and that's an actual audio clip.
No, that's real.
Like, that's real. The other one is AI. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you. The dinger thing is just like, I can't get over that. Like, I saw that and sent it to you guys, and I'm like, I'm sober hearing this, and I'm on the floor in tears.
Oh, it's hysterical. Like, the one they did last week was Jerry was great too. You can't play a lot of the, you know, some of the AI generated ones.
Can't really play hard. That's like the only clip I can play, and it's like towing the line of Speck coming in here and be like, Dusty, enough. Which I've heard that many times. But we had a conversation yesterday once we got, you know, to our, you know, rundown of what we're doing. And Sunday's game against the Bills, and you can chime in on this too. Text line 913-586-7965. What were your three best performances individually on Sunday for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, number one's the referees, clearly. Yep. I thought they did a marvelous job. Number two is fantastic. Replay review. I thought they did a spectacular job as
hopefully
well.
Hopefully refs are going to the
Pro Bowl. Hopefully, too. And then Roger Goodell, man, him radio downing and making sure that the Chiefs got all the calls to reinforce to the referees that we needed to get all the calls. I thought Roger Goodell was timely with all that of radioing down and making sure that the calls went in favor of the Chiefs. So I got the refs, the replay reviews, and Roger Goodell telling the refs what to do as my three best performances. Mac, you're first on the list. You can go.
Well, since you stole mine, I guess. Jeez, come on, man.
And pre-host of the weekend, the referees.
Of course, yeah.
What are you talking about?
On the come, referees.
Yeah. Richard of the week. Anybody who didn't think the refs were good in the game.
Richard of the week, Chiefs.
Yes, exactly.
Mahomes, how dare he be so talented?
Oh, my goodness. How dare you be so good, Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo, and come up with better game plans than your opponent?
You said it, man. Spags has got to be on the list of best three performances on Sunday. That blitz on fourth and five is going to live forever rent-free in my head. That is insane. Just Josh
I saw
Allen
a camera angle
life.
From behind the play. Warren Sharp tweeted this video out. Go watch it. Josh Allen from behind, and you just see 85 red jerseys flying at him. And then you see Dawson Kincaid drop what should have been a caught. Travis Kelce makes that catch. Patrick Mahomes leads the team to that drive. Just saying. 100%.
You know who the player was? It was right in the middle of his face blitzing.
Chris Jones was no.
Trent McDuffie.
McDuffie was there, yeah.
Karloftis
was there, yeah. Like, there were a lot of people there.
He had a wide open running back. If he throws it to him, he's gone.
Yeah, Shakir. Yeah, who was in the backfield, coming out of the backfield. Yeah,
I mean, I hate to tell you, your guy just isn't as good as our guy. Just isn't.
Yeah, and you heard the right guard who went left and had McDuffie and Karloftis go right past him. The right guard didn't touch anyone. He said all day they were going on the left side. Spags switched it up. We had no idea. So there's Spags number one for me. Mahomes, best game of the season. He saves it for this time.
Justin Reed, too, coming real fast at Josh Allen.
Yeah, Reed was there as well.
Justin Reed. I think
there was another defensive
back. You have Justin Reed coming in. You have McDuffie coming in as well. I mean, he comes in, goes back. I mean, and then you got your tight end wide open. You float it up. There could have been a little bit better of a pass. Mahomes throws a better ball than that. But either way, you got to catch that, right? If you're Dawson Kincaid, you got to make that play.
Yeah, if you're Dalton Knox, I mean, you've got to come down with that. That's
whoever
just
it is.
Is it Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox? Yes. Everybody's just effing this name up, and it's driving me nuts.
I'm messing with you,
Dawson Knox. Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah. Yes.
Cleet Blakeman.
Joe Tooney for me, third best. Incredible. Didn't allow pressure on Sunday. That's incredible, man.
I was talking to somebody about that yesterday. I think I was on in Saskatoon, Canada at some point yesterday, and they were asking about some of the things that, you know,
Saskatoon,
I don't know
Canada.
Where the hell it was.
Ooh,
I mean, and imagine that guy being your head coach. Imagine that guy being your head coach. Willy Wonka is who he looks like, and that guy's going to be the head coach and really get that team moving in the right direction. Unbelievable.
Duval.
Ooh.
I let that kid teach the class for a week.
Yeah, best of luck, Jacksonville. Like, you fired your GM, who probably should have been fired for that guy. Willy Wonka leading them into the chocolate factory. What were we talking about? Oh, Tooney. So I was talking about Joe Tooney, how good that move has been since they bounced him out to the left tackle position. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable, Joe Tooney, man. Tip of the cap to that guy.
I just want to warn you, we've got 2 weeks. That conversation's going to erupt again.
Who should play left tackle? There's no conversation
you know what I'm
going to
do with it? I'm going
to
ignore it.
Okay.
If it goes in our rundown, I'm going to delete it.
Yeah. Understood.
We're not talking about the left tackle anymore.
I'm going to give you a wedgie at the Airbnb if you put it in our freaking rundown.
It's
over.
It's over.
It doesn't matter.
I agree. You know what else is going to be a topic all week? The referees, right? Another thing that we're not going to get involved in. Why do you suppose the referees are better than the Chiefs?
The other conversation we talked about is, what on earth jerseys are they going to wear?
Yeah, they're wearing the white jerseys.
Philadelphia is the home team. They're not going to wear white.
Right, they're wearing the same uniforms as last time they played in the Super Bowl.
Did you know the rule of that, by the way?
The home team gets to pick.
But I know that rule, but how they figure out who's home and away.
Every other year, it just alternates.
Didn't know that, And it's funny when you look it up, it's like, well, the AFC gets even years, and the NFC, just say every other year. I was like, what are we doing?
Well, but if you don't know, like, which team, you know, it's like.
Because obviously this is Super Bowl Sean Barber.
Right.
59.
That's right.
And then that's an odd number, so the NFC.
Yeah.
The AFC will get the even numbers.
The even numbers,
so next year the Chiefs will wear red.
Right.
This year they'll wear white, which kind of frustrating because I'll never buy a white Chiefs jersey, just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
So I won't get a Super Bowl jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Unless somehow randomly the Philadelphia's like, you know what? We're going to wear white.
Yeah, I think they've already said they're wearing the green,
They should wear the Kelly green.
Oh, they can't. It's NFL rules. You cannot wear alternate jerseys in the postseason. Because
that's a rule they need to change.
It is because
that's a rule you need to
change. My buddy who does Baltimore media and whatnot was like ripping the NFL. Or ripping the Ravens. How could you not wear the blackouts? And he's like, oops, little known fact, the NFL says you're not allowed to wear alternate uniforms in the postseason, which
sucks.
I think is stupid.
No fun league.
It's stupid.
They need to change that rule. They need to change the illegal man downfield rule. They need to at least make it like 3 yards, not one.
Well, the game has changed, and with all these RPOs and all that, you probably should look at the change.
Like when you throw the ball at the line of scrimmage, as long as you have like a toe on the line, it counts.
Yeah,
like now if you have like a toe on the line, you're a butt. It's like legal man downfield.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two rules that need to change.
For me, three best performances: Patrick Mahomes, clearly. What did we say yesterday? He had like the greatest playoff performance of all time when you
Pretty
look
much.
At it statistically.
He had three touchdowns.
I got James Worthy on my list as well. I thought him and Magic were great out there on the court.
James Worthy, man, come back.
I'll tell you what, James Worthy, man, he's out there dropping dimes, baby. And then I got to give a tip of the cap to Juju Smith-Schuster. My wife and I were watching the game again last night, and the second play for Juju was great, but the first play that he made early on in the first half of that game, too, to put the Chiefs in great field position was awesome. That's a veteran player right there. Juju Smith-Schuster and Samaje Perine had three plays that they made in the game, and all three of those plays were very, very significant plays. So tip of the cap to Juju as well.
Somebody said, Dusty, you wouldn't buy a white jersey even if it meant a 3-peat Super Bowl patch on it. I'll just buy the patch.
I'm not a big patch guy.
Depending on the significance of it. Like, I bought the World Series Kansas City Royals hat because it had the World Series patch. I was like, I may never see this again.
Also not a wear a jersey guy either anymore.
Oh.
You know, I wear the gear, but the jerseys for me, I'm like, eh.
This will be the first Super Bowl in 3 years I won't wear the Mahomes jersey over the hoodie. That's always the playoff outfit.
Well, now they're going to lose.
I can't. Could you imagine me showing up to the Super Bowl press box in a Mahomes jersey?
Please.
Be like, dude, get out.
Get the hell out of here.
It's like one time I went there, the guy that wore
a wait till you see the Super Bowl, you'll realize that's going to be the least of your concerns after you see the dregs that show up to this kind of stuff and what they're wearing.
We
had a guy in an animal mask and no feet or no shoes on the other day show up.
How's he doing?
Well, I'm sure his feet are cold.
My three are a little interesting because I didn't want to have the topic of like we all have the same three guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I have one of the same of yours, and that's Xavier Worthy. I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but this man called a shot and he was successful with it. He said, I want Buffalo to realize they messed up by not taking me. I use that as energy. He went out there. He's the best wide receiver on the field on Sunday.
Yeah, he was outstanding.
Both sides of the rosters.
Can we stop talking about how Mahomes now just doesn't have wide receivers? Like, is that a dead topic now? Is that like put away for a while now? Patrick Mahomes, I don't know. He just doesn't have any weapons.
I think it's been dead since week one this year.
Okay.
But
you never know with the low-hanging fruit media and when they get down to New Orleans and the topics they want to tackle that they think are original and new.
That'll be one.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait.
Don't even want to compete man coverage.
Right. But Xavier Worthy was a volume receiver, not a selected receiver, which I think a lot of people were like, oh, yeah, he runs like a 4.2, whatever. He's really fast. Like, he's good for like 3 or 4 plays. Nah, man. Xavier Worthy is going to be a 9-target receiver every single game, who's going to probably catch 6 to 7 of those targets and turn it into either 70, 80, or 120 yards. Like, the fear of Xavier Worthy is beginning, and it's crazy to see that that rookie receiver, followed by a rookie receiver from last year who will both play together next year, all drafted by your general manager. You ask why they're in a three-peat. You ask why people hate them. Because of Brett Veach. He can't draft receivers. That's back-to-back wide receiver ones for them. So Xavier Worthy gets a lot of praise. Hollywood Brown, man, he kind of set the tone.
Yeah, he did.
Right? Like, I think this is kind of probably a big homer take, and I'll own that. But Travis Kelce was better without being a target, because they were just like, we're taking 87 away. We'll give you whatever. Hence the fact that Juju Smith-Schuster, the game that he had, Hollywood Brown on the first drive was big, kind of like was like, okay, we don't need Travis Kelce on this drive. We'll just go to the open guy. We'll take the guy that is the, you know, the most open person, or the guy that has the best look. It was Hollywood Brown. Now, again, didn't really do much. Had 3 receptions, I think 3 of which were in the first half. Never caught a ball again after the first half, but he did his job and set the tone on that first drive.
And I love the fact that you're viewing this game the right way from a non-fantasy standpoint, where everybody views these things from a fantasy standpoint, because you said Travis Kelce had a good game, but he only had 19 yards receiving. He did have a good game because he attracted so much attention that other guys were able to work. And when you look at the stat sheet, people go, Travis Kelce's washed. He wasn't involved. No, Travis Kelce basically took 3/4 of the defense on one side of the field and left everybody else open. That's how it works in the NFL. Put your fantasy stats in a pipe and smoke them.
Please. He also had one of the biggest catches in the game, considering the timing and the execution. And then once again, I think, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due. Harrison Butker was awesome.
Yeah.
Was there when they needed him, hit the field goals when they needed him to hit them, hit the extra points once again in the playoffs, and Harrison Butker continues to be one of the greatest kickers to ever play in the National Football League. And what did so many teams do throughout time, right? Like, Washington beat Buffalo in the Super Bowl with a field goal kick. You know, Adam Vinatieri was a great field goal kicker, and New England could trust that guy, and that's exactly what happened. And so when you put all those and factor them all in together, like, you need that guy, and Harrison Butker consistently been that guy for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, he's been outstanding, and so it's good to be able to rely on that kicker. That's why when he was out for so long, for 4 weeks or whatever, I was all like, oh, my God. You know, we're so used to just relying on a guy. Now we got somebody hitting uprights and knocking balls through, which the refs did a great job of moving the goalposts so it hit the upright the right way to go through to give us that win against the Chargers, of course. Ugh.
The 8-1-6 has Juwan Taylor, biggest star of the game.
Had a great game.
Didn't hear his name.
Had a great game.
That's what they said. First time I've never heard his number called for a boneheaded penalty.
Right. I was afraid of that.
Yeah,
I was
too.
Afraid of getting like a huge first down, like second half, like third and 7.
Oh, I was afraid of the refs
then
going into the game because I thought they were going to overcorrect. And we'd see something like that, big play, and then there's 74, you know, going,
I did kind of have that for a little bit going into the game. It kind of died out around like 4:30. But I'm with you because, you know, you were listening to everybody's hits on the radio and whatnot, and I was like, man, I feel like they're going to like either swallow their whistles or they're going to be over the top because they want to, you know, whatever. And they weren't.
And they were. There were 5 penalties for the Chiefs, 6 for Buffalo that were accepted. I mean, it's a very low penalty game. The refs did an amazing job. Yeah. Bonus them, man. They were good.
Very good job for the referees on that game. You know, I don't have any complaints. It's just going to be weird having to take that stuffed animal head back. Like, imagine that.
Yeah, taking that thing and leaving the game with that. Do you leave that in the locker room or do you save that? Because you're not going to wear that again. Once you've worn the animal head.
You better not leave it in the locker room. Somebody for the Chiefs will put that thing on a spike and put it out in the front of the parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
We got to get rid of that thing.
Somebody in equipment hid that thing fast after the game. Does that guy wear shoes when he leaves
the
game?
That's what I was wondering, too. Is it barefoot after, too?
And how come we never see the players leaving the game? We always see him arriving, which I'm not a huge fan. I don't need that in my life. I know some people like that, but whatever. Mm-hmm. I want to see him leaving the game when they're all depressed. Like, get a camera in that dude's face and show his feet when you're leaving a game after getting beat by the Chiefs.
Rex Ryan.
I just want to see if he's going. If you're going to go barefoot in, you better be going barefoot out. You can't sell this. I go barefoot everywhere but on the football field and have a pair of, you know, Dockers on as you're leaving.
So moving on from the three good players are our 3 best performances in Sunday's game. How many greats or greatest of all time do you think the Chiefs currently have on their roster?
It's interesting. I did some deep diving into this yesterday because I think we're in, you know, in this.
They say never dive alone.
I know, and I didn't. They say, you know, hyperbolic, you know, at times we kind of live in the moment and whatnot.
Are you reading the text line?
No, I'm not, actually. This is what I look at all morning long.
Rush the field?
Put your camera on that so people can see what I look at all morning long. That is the only thing that I look at all morning long on my computer.
He's back tonight, by the way.
And Binkley is back tonight, baby. You got the character concerns, you know, draft show coming up because the draft is getting ready to start.
Him and Chris DeCero.
Binkley will be on with us tomorrow at 6:45. But that's what I look at every day. I look at Jay every day. Gives me inspiration.
Hey, somebody, Matt Collis, guy who wore shoes. I know a guy who built shoes. Matt Collis, not a great football player. Nobody knew who he was 2 years ago.
You sound like Gruden and Binkley had a child.
Yeah, I guarantee you, Binkley would think about that.
Really? You think? Wait, no. Hang on a second, Dusty. Binkley, I know there's no thinking. Yeah.
Binkley, I know you're heterosexual, but would you sleep with Gruden to potentially have a child with him? You know, Dust Man's actually a great point because it could technically happen. 13 seconds.
So you know the hyperbolic state we're in, and there are a lot of all time greats, obviously on
tight
this
end.
Team. Tight end,
quarterback.
Yep.
Coach.
Yeah.
GM.
Yeah.
Kicker.
That's a debate we can get into. And defensive tackle are the two others. Defensive tackle and kicker are the ones that I'm like, let's hold on a second here.
D coordinator?
Yeah. I mean, okay. The only other person you could potentially, in my opinion anyway, put on that list is Bill Cowher. But his successes were with Pittsburgh, not with Kansas City, as the defensive coordinator. He was here for a hot minute. And so you could potentially put him on that list as defensive coordinator. But no, Steve Spagnuolo has won 3 Super Bowls, you know, or 4 Super Bowls, however many he's won. So he's the greatest of all time. But there is a debate at defensive tackle and kicker. There are only 38 defensive tackles in the Hall of Fame for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. For a sport that's been around 105 years, there are 38 defensive tackles in the Hall of Fame. 2 of them are members of the Kansas City Chiefs, Curley Culpa and Buck Buchanan. And then you look at the kickers as well. There are 4 kickers in the Hall of Fame. 2 of them are Kansas City Chiefs. Morton Anderson, tail end of his career, obviously. And then, of course, Jan Stenerud, who was the first kicker ever put into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And so when we start talking about the greatest of the greats, yes, the greatest tight end, he is better than Tony Gonzalez. Even though Tony's in the Hall of Fame, I think even Tony would say Travis Kelce's better than him. Head coach, no debate. Defensive coordinator, no debate. Quarterback, no debate. So defensive tackle, Chris Jones will probably be in the Hall of Fame. He will probably be the 3rd defensive tackle for the Chiefs put into the Hall of Fame. And I do believe Harrison Butker's headed to the Hall of Fame at this point in time. I mean, the guy is as automatic as they go, and he makes his biggest kicks in the postseason. That's when you become a star, and that's when your legacy grows. I think he'll end up being in the Hall of Fame. And so you can add those two in kind of to that greats of the great. And for me, it's hard to compare eras, you know, the 60s versus today. I think it's harder to play than it was back then when, you know, guys were working at the lumberyard in the offseason to make ends meet. But, I mean, you're still talking about a team that has 2 of the 38 defensive tackles in the Hall of Fame. So there's been a pretty big legacy here in Kansas City of great players. The Chiefs have 25 members of their organization in the Hall of Fame, and they'll have a lot more after this.
Damn, that's a lot. 25, that's got to be up near the top, right? Did you look at that list? I'd like to see how many the Chiefs compare to, you know, Packers.
Yeah,
some of the,
probably a ton of Steelers, a ton of Niners, a ton of Cowboys.
And it goes 25 with, you had a cup of coffee, like Willie Rofe's on that list, Morton Anderson's on that list. Like Bobby Bethard is considered part of the Chiefs organization, even though he was here for a hot second in the 70s and made his way elsewhere. Okay. And so it's people who have had ties and worked for and or played for at some point in time. But still, 25 guys in the Hall of Fame for an organization that up until now really didn't have a great history of winning. I mean, let's not kid ourselves here, right? 50 years without making it to the Super Bowl. Not a great history of winning until recently. Still had all of those players in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I mean, they're creating those quote-unquote GOATs right now because of the culture and because of the infrastructure that they've created. Yeah. I mean, the chemistry within that building, how united they are. And, I mean, it was so funny. I saw a tweet yesterday from one of the Chiefs reporters saying, you know, yeah, it'll look like Andy Reid's going to stick with their normal Super Bowl routine. I mean, that's where this organization's come. Like, does your team have a normal Super Bowl routine? It's absurd, man.
Well, Andy Reid probably had a normal Super Bowl routine, guys, before he even went to a Super Bowl. And that's the kind of, detail and whatnot that Andy Reid, that's why he's successful. It's not a secret as to why this guy's successful. Everything is taken care of, and they know what they're going to do constantly.
The last time we won a Super Bowl, I could still get hard without taking a pill. Nowadays, my dinger just looks like a wet biscuit.
Tough Tuesdays on the other side.
Do you realize that the Dallas Cowboys have the longest drought in the NFC without winning the conference?
Sounds about right. Come back on the other side. We'll get to Tough Tuesdays here on 96.5 The Fan. That guy's name, that franchise, will all be mentioned. I can promise you that here on your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Random question. I know we're coming back from a commercial break. Thank you for joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. I am Bob Fesco with Dusty Likens and Drew Nixon. Just kidding. Mac, Bob, and Dusty here with you on 96.5 The Fan. Would you rather work 5 days a week or four tens?
Four tens. There's no
always
question.
Always, like, a slam dunk, not even close.
Slam dunk, yeah. Yep.
Text line 913-586-7965. Is that right?
Yep.
Four 100%.
Tens? Yeah.
And now here's my other question, sub-question. Would you want your day off to be Friday or Monday?
For me, I think Friday would probably be it.
Can you switch it seasonally? Like, in the summer, give me Friday. And
Hey. Or was it Peter Brady? Peter.
Glory hole. And the thing is like, I think in the wintertime, I'd want it to be the Monday. And then the next 6 months, give me the Friday.
Yeah, I mean, if you could rotate it, that'd be fine.
If you could. Now, I'm adding a lot of semantics to it. But yeah, we all can agree that'd be the four tens, obviously.
I don't think anybody would disagree with that, would they?
Yeah, I think that'd be the hot take to disagree.
Yeah, it's me like blaming the refs. I think the referees were terrible, and the four-day work week is the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah, four tens for sure. So, I love this segment on Tuesday. You know what's really disappointing and it makes me sad? No one said we didn't get the library today.
Oh, really? I'm surprised people are not
damn it, Bob, stop it. You're hurting me.
I like the library. Yes. I had no problem with that.
Seemed a little facetious there. Just a little bit.
No, I like it.
Yeah.
No, it was good.
I told you.
I don't know why we got rid of it.
The library's closed. Oh, the season's over.
We still got a big game coming up in ten days or whatever. Are still people still becoming librarians?
Yes, my aunt is one.
Still becoming librarians. I fancy your aunt is probably older.
No, there's
older.
People that come in and
do
that.
The Dewey Decimal System is a scam.
Monette, Missouri, though. So, I mean, it's not, you know.
Well, that's the thing. You know. Yeah, I mean, when's the last time you set foot in a library?
Voting.
Okay. Besides that?
I actually want to get a library card. I want to do more reading. How's that going for you?
Yeah.
I just can't seem to read the words. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't know. I mean, there's so much now. It's like it's online.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people read audio or read. I find that I don't want to get into it. The audiobook thing.
Not a fan.
I want to read it. Mm. I don't know. Unless I'm traveling. Like,
I just tend to mind wander, you know, one of those
things.
Like, I'm
kind of disappointed our flight's only 2 hours because I was like, well, that's like we're going to be up and then down. I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm not going to, you know, download a huge movie to watch. Like, they're all going to be, I won't get to finish it.
Yeah.
Be angry. But again, I'm being annoying. But no, I don't know. Like, libraries are not, like, when I went and voted and, like, went in the library, I was like, man, this is nice. Like, the smell of books.
Yeah,
like,
the smell calmness. Of books, yeah, it's like, very calm.
Sit in a chair, just, you know, dive back. But no,
Now, people do that at Starbucks.
Yes.
Like, if the library started serving coffee, I bet you they'd get more people in there.
Yeah.
Barnes & Noble.
Somebody says, 4 tens is nice, but you get tired after a while. I don't know.
I get tired after 5 eights. I mean, seriously, you have a whole extra day off, man, to work 2 extra hours in a day for four.
You handed us 4 tens, and I'm always so jealous.
I mean, there's no comparison. No comparison.
Yeah, somebody says 4 tens, no doubt. Friday's off is a game changer. 4 tens without a doubt. Monday during football season, Friday for the other.
Yeah, I do like that idea. Sure, I'm good on that one.
Yeah, somebody says, I missed the library. You were very kind, 913. They said they missed the library, but was hoping for a Super Bowl edition. Well, you know. Anyways, it is Tough Tuesday. It's no doubt where we're starting first with is Liam Neeson-Cohen.
Yeah.
Qui-Gon Jinn, however you want to say his name. But, I mean,
Duval.
That guy was on a gummy or some fungi or something. But, like, maybe just keep that one in the back pocket. Liam Cohen being introduced as the new head coach in Jacksonville. And
Duval.
I guess he likes Robert a lot.
I guess.
I don't really know. we found out what Duval means.
Yeah, it's their county. It's Duval County. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that was their chant. I didn't know it was the county that they're in. So,
I mean, any reason to go up there and go, Jackson?
Well, and so
Duval.
Andy goes, how about those Chiefs, right? And I look at coaches who do stuff like that. I immediately say, would Andy Reid do that? And the answer is no. And that's why right there, Liam Cohen will be looking to get a job at Allstate in a couple of years, because it's not going to work. I'll just tell you that. I knew that before they hired the guy. I can hear it now. You're not going to have command of grown men in your locker room when that's the way you come onto the scene. And now you're chasing your tail because the guys are rolling their eyes. I can hear whoever plays for Jacksonville going, oh, my God, this is what we got ourselves into right now. This is the guy who looks like Willy Wonka that's going to be leading the charge here. And this is how he, kind of welcomes himself. At least when Dan Campbell had his introductory press conference, you could get behind that and get fired up if you were a fan of that team. I don't know how the one Jacksonville fan, Bill, how he's going to get excited about that guy being the head coach. But more importantly, how are you going to resonate with those guys and win that locker room over and get them to believe you are a credible head coach? And so Andy Reid's not going to do that. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I don't really understand why you would do that. The next one we move on to is another new head coach, which is your guy, Aaron Glenn.
Put your seatbelts on and get ready for the ride. Listen, there are going to be some challenges. But with challenges becomes opportunity, gets opportunity. But here's what I do know. We're the freaking New York Jets. So we're built for this.
You got to get fired up for that, right? That will fire up your fan
base. Is he not the same hire as Robert Saleh?
It's pretty much the exact same hire as Robert Saleh.
And he has the same team as of right now that Robert Saleh had, with the same problem at quarterback that Robert Saleh had.
Correct.
It's not,
put your seatbelts on and get ready for the ride.
Listen, I don't know what that was. But
there are going to be some challenges. But with challenges becomes opportunity, gets opportunity. But here's what I do know. We're the freaking New York Jets. So we're built for this.
Yeah, you're built for a lot of that because you are the Jets and you haven't had any success. Yeah. No, that's the problem with Aaron Glenn. I like him as a personality, but if you're the Jets, you just hired the exact same guy. I don't know who his coaches are going to be, what offensive genius he's going to have, and you don't know who the quarterback is.
No.
So how can you sit here and say Aaron Glenn's a good hire, bad hire, individual hire? Who knows if you don't have an idea who your quarterback's going to be? And if you keep Aaron Rodgers around, if you're Aaron Glenn, then you're already failing, because that guy is a cancer. He's an infestation of your organization, and he will cause your organization to fracture and fall apart. Aaron Glenn should say, no way am I bringing Aaron Rodgers back to this football team. That would be the first step that he needs to make. Calling Aaron Rodgers in immediately, not waiting, not getting through the Super Bowl, calling Aaron Rodgers in and saying, we're done here. You need to go about your merry way, and I'm going to take over this organization. Because if that guy's hanging around, he's already undermining you as a head coach.
The other guy that has our Tough Tuesday that wraps it up is no other than Jerry Jones. This is actually not AI. This is Jerry Jones literally saying this.
There's a very low percentage of this that is smiles and glory holes.
I don't really honestly know if he knows what glory holes are. If he doesn't, he needs to research it.
Yeah. He says it a lot.
No one tell him.
No, yeah. No one. I think somebody has, but I don't think he listens, right? He's like, thanks for listening, Jerry.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, he throws in Schottenheimer on a Friday news dump, so it gets hidden in the media. No one has to really criticize him during championship weekend.
Yeah, right.
Where Saturday,
if that's Deion, he gets announced on Monday.
Oh, he gets announced Sunday morning before the championship game starts. So it's like, by the way, in Dallas, there's a new hire. It's Deion Sanders, but it wasn't. It was Schottenheimer on a Friday, and I heard Colin Cowherd say this, and I thought it was a great take, that he said this is a classic Jerry Jones move where you know that he doesn't care about where his franchise goes because he did it on a Friday news dump.
That's exactly right.
Late night on Friday, late afternoon on a Friday, where it's like Schottenheimer, a 20-year coordinator, and all of a sudden you're going to have this guy be your Dallas thing when you can hide it and disguise it underneath championship weekend. So, I mean, I don't know, and then maybe this is AI, maybe it's not.
The last time we won a Super Bowl, I could still get hard without taking a pill. Nowadays, my dinger just looks like a wet biscuit.
Yeah. They have the longest drought in the NFC without going to the Super Bowl. And so that makes you officially the worst team in the NFC. I mean, there's just no other way to put it, right? And so Jerry Jones continues to show that it's more important for him to have a yes man than it is to go out and hire the best coach. Or maybe a lot of the best coaches, like let's just use Deion for an example, how that thing fell short is because Jerry said, I'm going to do this. And Deion's like, the hell you are. I'm getting the hell out of here. But it's no secret. Jerry Jones really has not had success since Jimmy Johnson. And he fired Jimmy Johnson because Jimmy Johnson and him didn't agree on some things. But Jimmy Johnson, you know, led your team to two Super Bowls and really put the, together mm-hmm. the third one that Barry Switzer was able to go out there and win with them. But, you know, I don't want to knock Brian Schottenheimer at all. Like, congratulations, man. You got an opportunity to do this. But if Jerry Jones expects to have different results, that's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I just don't know how Brian Schottenheimer moves you forward and really makes you better than having Mike McCarthy on board for all of that. Like, I just don't understand the change. If you move on from Mike McCarthy, you hire Deion Sanders or somebody like that, great, I get it. You moved on from Mike McCarthy and you hired Brian Schottenheimer, who would have been there regardless.
Mm-hmm. People say that Jerry Jones is referring to glory holes being a good spot for oil well.
And then probably it says, back in the day.
Nobody
yes.
tell them what it means now.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people telling you that librarians make really good money.
Do they really?
Six figures.
Oh, wow.
Somebody's,
no kidding.
Somebody says the University
like
of
hiring?
Kansas. Somebody says the University of the librarian at the University of Kansas makes $144K a year.
Really? To do what? Stamp the book?
No, I mean, they got to do other stuff than that. But
like. Yeah.
Well, they got to run the business. They got to make sure it stays on top. You got to make sure books are coming
There's
back.
There's no business. It's free.
Well, I mean, you still have to like keep everything in order, like have your different sections of books after you all do all that sort of stuff. I mean,
$144K a year. I'll take that job. That's no a good, that sounds awesome, man.
No doubt about it. We can nitpick the Bills game versus the Chiefs and why it wasn't just referees that gave the Bills a chance to win the game, as everybody is saying that, you know, everybody says the Chiefs get all the calls, but the Bills had a lot of opportunities they didn't take advantage of. We'll explain on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
I just want to say how awesome it is to have Bob Fesco and Legend Likens on every morning to start my day. I freaking love you guys.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.